Hello and a very warm welcome to Central Stage. Good to have you with us. Now, today's Ashura, the martyrdom anniversary of a gifted figure who's not only the third Shiite Imam, but also someone who's loved and considered a role model by billions, whether Shiite, Sunnis, or even non-Muslims who believe in the values of freedom, justice, and courage in the face of oppression. Now, on that faithful day on Ashura, Imam Hussein and all members of his family, including his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, his nephew and cousins, and of course his other true supporters, bravely encountered the massive troops of the enemy in Karbala in Iraq. Now, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? 1,300 years on, and still the bravery of Imam Hussein and his loyal companions, particularly his brother Abul Fazl Abbas, in that situation feels so fresh. And I'm sure most of us can't imagine what this amazing and unique man and his supporters went through, and our hearts certainly go out to them. Welcome back. Now, since March 2011, more than 115,000 people have been killed in Syria. Now, according to a report published by the New York Times on October 24th, the ongoing crisis in Syria has also inflicted an estimated $30 billion in damage to houses and infrastructure in the country. Now, over 2 years of devastation and destruction, will Geneva II be able to make any difference, if it ever happens? So to find the answer to this very important question, we're delighted to be joined by two well-established guests. Now, here in this studio, I'm delighted to be joined by top professional researcher and political analyst, Dr. Ahmad Haji Mina. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, let me just tell you that Dr. Rahmat Haji Mina, Professor of International Relations and Politics. He's a top researcher with the Middle East Center, affiliated to the Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and an established journalist and writer working with Tehran Times. Now, over the phone from Toronto, Canada, we're delighted to be joined by an established educator and scholar, Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi. Welcome to Central Stage. So unfortunately, we don't, I think, have him at the moment. We have, of course, his picture. We had his picture. We hope that we can have Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi, the founding director of Ihsan Muslim Heritage Society in Toronto, with us quite shortly. Time for a short break.
Syria's Western-backed opposition has eventually laid out their conditions to participate in talks, which are supposed to end the deadly war in Syria. The deeply divided Syrian National Coalition reached a decision for attending the Geneva II conference after 2 days of discussions in Istanbul. The so-called Syrian National Coalition released a statement early on Monday in which they outlined conditions that must be met before the talks. The opposition wants a transitional government in any condition after talks, release of political prisoners, and access of relief agencies to besieged areas. The opposition has been blaming the Syrian government for not allowing access to some areas that have been occupied by their own militants. This is why the militant groups in Syria usually attack an area and take all residents as hostage. Not only do they deter army improvements in those areas, but also they receive humanitarian supplies sent to people, which they usually seize and under distribution of which impose strict conditions. The opposition's request asks for an end to the fighting, withdrawal of Syrian armed forces from major cities, and discuss an urgency of the introduction of humanitarian aid. The main sticking point continued to be centered on the role of Bashar al-Assad, with the opposition demanding that Syria's president not have any part in the country's future. Assad, who has been dealing with a massive foreign-charged insurgency with thousands of militants entering his country to topple the government, has repeatedly said that he will not do so. The government has been asking the opposition to lay out its plan for future of the country in a condition that they had al-Qaeda-linked groups fighting at their side, and now their leaders want a ruling system of their own in Syria. Al-Qaeda, which has the strongest armed groups on the ground in Syria, including al-Nusra Front and the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, has already announced its intentions for setting up a caliphate with their own version of law, and it's fair to say that their actions so far have clearly demonstrated what such a version of government may look like.
Hello again, lots of developments when it comes to Syria. And let's start with one of the developments which is rather positive. Now, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons announced on November 7th that 22 out of 23 declared chemical weapons production sites have been examined. So, Dr. Ajimina, so far so good. Probably some progress has been made on that front.
Yes, actually, it's a very good progress following the entering of international inspector into the Syria for identification and annihilation of a Syrian stockpile of chemical weapons regarding to the really agreement between Russian and American foreign minister about this issue. And we have two milestones in this regard. The first milestone is this announcement about the Syrian really cooperation with this international inspector that really show a great, I think, and measurable cooperation and progress in this field, and especially constructive collaboration between Syrian government and this international inspector. But the other, I think, milestone is going to come in, I think, 15 November, on November 15, that,
right.
This, I think, organization is going to approve a detailed plan that's submitted by Syrian government about declared stockpile of chemical weapons for the future. And it's very, I think, good progress in this field, and we can say that the other, I think, side of Syrian crisis can be followed by this pattern that really Syrian government try to cooperate with international organization like Organization of Prohibition Chemical Weapons.
Well, let's be honest, probably this is the only area where it seems that there is agreement and everybody agrees that progress has been made.
Yeah.
When it comes to other areas, lots of controversies surround.
Because this area really limited to two sides, Syrian government and an international organization. But other areas, especially about political structure of Syria gaining any, I think, progress, it up to now showed that it is very problem,
right.
Because they are to gain any, I think, benefit or any resulted on the battleground rather than any political, I think, solution or settlement.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Hajimina. Now, we know that the members of the Syrian National Coalition attended a two-day meeting in Istanbul, and that the Syrian National Coalition leader has said that they'd attend Geneva talks if West kept, quote, humanitarian aid promises and a transitional government if any condition, in any condition after talks. They also mentioned release of political prisoners and access of relief agencies to besieged areas. Now, the interesting point is that in an interview with the Sunday Telegraph, Ahmad Jarba, the leader of the National Coalition for Syrian Revolutionary and Opposition Forces, he agreed to attend the long-awaited talks that would include a delegation of Bashar al-Assad, something that Dr. Haji Mina, the opposition, has so far actually rejected. And it's interesting, I just want to mention a very important point, that less than a week ago, Jarba said that he would not attend Geneva talks unless there was a clear agenda to force Assad to leave the office. So that's a major shift in their stance, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really obvious. Shift in stance of really opposition regarding to participating in Geneva too, because at the past this opposition repeatedly reiterate that they didn't really participate in Geneva too unless the step down of Assad government. But as you said, as you mentioned, at this time the leader of National Syrian National Coalition really announced his consent to participate in Geneva too, with I think different precondition rather than the condition of the condition of the government without Assad. At this time, they announced some condition like release of political prisoner, and the other side is to continuation of international humanitarian aid into the Syria. But I think there are main reason for this change in the in the opposition, and I can name two of them that are very important for this change. And the first one is that I think the opposition really didn't manage to gain any concrete result on the battleground, and they are not really victory in the battleground, so they try to find another strategy for their really achieving of their aim. And the other part of this story for this major shift, I think, is related to the really related to the attempts of regional and international, I think, actors such as United States, that really try to convince communist opposition to participate in this Geneva II for really saving, saving face, I think, agreement in the future in Geneva II, because on the battleground we really witness and deadlock, and really the opposition cannot be winner on this really matter, so try to change its strategy, as you said. And they are really agree to participate in Geneva too, with different condition.
Okay, that's a very important point, the point you mentioned. But at the same time, Moscow believes, and I think it's a very probably important concern, believes that the opposition is not ready to participate in Geneva II talks. And they said that actually some of the factions which are a part of the opposition, they do not believe in sort of peaceful settlement to the conflict in Syria. And I just want to quote the Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov. He said on Friday that the National Coalition cannot represent all group at the negotiations. He said, quote, and it's a very interesting quote, "The National Coalition claims to be the sole legitimate representative of the Syrian people, but it does not represent even the majority of the opposition." So, do you think that such a coalition, which in the words of the Russian foreign minister does not even represent the majority of the opposition, could have any say in Geneva II talks?
Actually, the national, I think, coalition, supposedly as an umbrella, I think, umbrella for opposition, try to unify the different group, opposition group inside of Syria under one title, under one name. But as we see inside of Syria, there are different voices, different groups, and there are that are not included inside of national coalition of Syria. And as we know, there are Kurds, there are other parts that that are really related to Al-Qaeda, and they are not really as the same as national coalition. For this part, I think that Russia try to really play as a fair mediator and try to really found a common ground for two sides. But the main division inside of national coalition up to now suggests that they are not the real, I think, representative of the people of Syria, and they are not the representative of whole of people inside of Syria, because we have seen different group who really claim that they are representative of one, I think, opposition. And for this, I think, for this split among the opposition, up to now, they cannot come to one agreement, and it's very problematic, I think, situation for opposition, because they don't have any one and unified voice about the future of Syria, and there are different groups who try to gain their interest, really, and it's a very main problem for the future, especially for the future negotiation.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Hajimina, for that. Now, I have to tell you, our dearest viewer, that unfortunately we couldn't have Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi with us. We had already invited him, but I have to apologize that we can't have him. So we'll, of course, continue our discussions with Dr. Ahmad Hajimina. So we promise that we are going to have a lively discussion. Now let's have a short break first. Again, and welcome back. Now, Geneva II conference was initially proposed for the end of May 2013. Now, according to the most recent information, the UN Arab League envoy to Syria has said that peace talks between the Syrian government and rebel groups will not go ahead even in November. Now, Lakhdar Brahimi, however, said on Tuesday that diplomats were still striving to see if we can have the conference before the end of the year. Dr. Hajimina, will the Geneva II talks ever happen, do you think?
It's really hard to say really about the exact time of Geneva II, but really there are regional and international really attempts to hold Geneva an international talk, peace, I think, peaceful talk for finding any solution, political solution for this crisis. But there are really main obstacle on the way to Geneva II, up to now that really paralyzed any attempt to holding such international peace, I think, talk. And one of them is the division among the really opposition of Syrian government, because there are several group and several voices, and they have any, I think, different idea about Geneva II, and really it's an infighting and rivalry between division. And the other part of this, I think, paralyzed is related to some regional and international actors that really try to postpone Geneva II, really, because they try to gain a concrete, I think, result on the battleground, and because any, I think, meeting in Geneva II try to find a political solution,
yes,
which is not in favor of some part or favor of some group in this equation.
But you know, at some points in time, it got quite dangerous, didn't it? I mean, they wanted to have Geneva II talks. There were lots of obstacles, as you mentioned. And then there was a point where everybody thought that the attack against Syria is imminent. So that was there was that very dangerous point. And then we had the chemical weapons inspection and annihilation. So do you think that there may be some other dangerous points coming?
Yeah, I think that, in my opinion, the only viable really way of settlement for Syrian crisis and of end for Syrian crisis is political, I think, because the basis of Syrian crisis right now is political, and any, I think, solution for Syrian problem should be going through the political settlement, not violent and military attack into Syria, because it's really main, it's really related to the future of Syria, and we have different example and pattern in the Middle East region. For example, it's about Iraq pattern, that it's a government in Iraq that really after, I think, American attack into Iraq in 2003, and we cannot say that democracy can be really gained by really military or by force. We should try to see that any settlement or any, I think, solution for Syria through political settlement.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, I was just told that now we have the pleasure of having Dr. Ahmad al-Hashemi eventually. Dr. Ahmad al-Hashemi, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Mr. Bijani, pleasure is mine to be here.
And I wish that you're actually benefiting the most from these very, you know, sacred moments of Ashura. Dr. Ahmad al-Hashemi, we were talking about the Geneva II talks, and the key question that I put to our other knowledgeable guests in this studio, in our Tehran studio, was that whether he thought a Geneva II would ever happen. What is your understanding? What is your prognosis?
The political approach to the Syrian crisis is the most pragmatic approach, as it's been articulated by the respected guest. And most of the political observers converge on the same. But the challenge is pretty big. Why? Because of the mistrust which is there. So the task of Al-Akhdar al-Ibrahimi is monumental. As you could see him shuttling between Washington, Moscow, Tehran, Damascus, and some other Arab capitals, just to pull all the strings to make sure that this would happen. Although his initial anticipation was that Geneva II will be held in mid of November, but later on he realized that the task is monumental, and he changed the date, and he said hopefully by the end of this month we will be having a date, you see, for Geneva II. So that gives you a glimpse of hope that things may materialize. But, however, there is some sort of preconditions set either by the Syrian Assad regime or by the coalition. And as you are aware, these need to be hammered down in a diplomatic way. From now on, then, you see, to then, what the pragmatic, practical diplomacy should do is exactly what Iranian and Turkish foreign ministers have done in Ankara,
right,
to focus on basic elements such as rendering the badly needed humanitarian needs to the affected Syrians, working on peaceful transfer of power, and number three, preparing for the awaited for Syrian presidential election in 2014, which is around the corner.
Right. But Dr. Al-Hashimi, there is a I just want to mention some very interesting statements. The first statement is that it's actually, I just want to quote, there is a chance to end the Syrian crisis in 2 weeks if there's political will on all sides. This interesting statement was made by Dr. Bouthania Shaban, political and media advisor to the Syrian president, in an exclusive interview to RT Russia Today. She said, quote, if the various parties have if the various parties have the political will to put an end to the Syrian suffering, to the Syrian crisis, then they can do it within weeks. And if they can only stop financing the arming of the Syrian rebels and the smuggling of terrorists across the border from Turkey, 50% of the Syrian crisis would be over in 2 weeks' time. Dr. Al-Hashimi, that's overly optimistic, isn't it?
For sure it is. With Dr. Bouthania Shaban, as you are aware, on the one hand is being viewed as a lady of intelligence, and the Syrians who would like to see her, you see, bringing about a peaceful solution, they favor her immensely. However, others change her name from Dr. Bouthania Shaban to Thauban. Thauban means wolf because of his thuggish approach, and sometimes she raises her left finger, you see, and threatening and all those things. However, you see, again, you see, to be realistic, one should not come with such a you see, oversimplification of the scenarios. Why? Because the same lady, when she spoke about the August 21st accident, chemical attack in the Ghouta area of Damascus, she squarely threw the blame on the opposition, and she said, these are the people who brought captives from Ladiqiyya, the Alawite segment of Syria, to Damascus area, i.e. 400 kilometers south, presumably using some, let us say, 28 fully loaded buses, which is not, you see, a good explanation to what happened. It's much better for a diplomat to be prudent and say something which is realistic. So the 2 weeks, you won't see the light at the end of this tunnel, which has lasted more than 30 months, as you know. So the whatever you hear from a seasoned diplomat, such as Algerian diplomat who has the UN, you see, supervision now over the whole process, namely Akhdar al-Ibrahimi, is more saying and revealing about what is happening in the chamber of powers. I guess at the end of the day, if the opposition and the coalition realizes that it has a stake here, and you see, they should go, otherwise they're going to be losing the train. They presumably come to the negotiation table. And as you know, the United Nations has dealt with them very tactfully. On the one hand, they are not being recognized because, as you know, there is a state in power in Syria, a
right.
government representative and what have you. On the other hand, they had a three-day meeting in Istanbul recently.
Okay.
They chose eight ministers, mm-hmm. And the elected so-called president in exile supposed to submit the name of another mm-hmm. three. But as you fully aware, Ahmed al-Jabra, Ahmed al-Jarba, you see, has agreed
yes.
To take part in the negotiation, which is upcoming in Geneva, too.
Okay, we hope so, too. Thank you very much indeed. Now, let's take a short break. After the break, we'll have Center Stage online search for you. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us now. It's time for Central Stage online search, where we go on the net for you to pick what's taken Central Stage over the course of the last week. So let's start with the first web page. As you can see, Dr. Hajimine, it's from Al Jazeera website. So no date agreed for Syria peace conference. So I think still they're speculating whether,
yeah.
I mean, do you want to, yeah. of course they said
true.
They want to hold it, but nobody really knows
sure
when.
That everyone is very pessimistic about
yes.
the future of
yes.
Syria, really, by peace conference.
Yes, okay. Let's go to our next webpage. Okay, this is from RT, and Syrian opposition to attend Geneva talks if West keeps humanitarian aid promises. So that is the major shift we just talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you can see,
as you mentioned.
Yes, and I think it's really probably it's an important development, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, why not?
Okay, so let's go to our next web page, which is Press TV. This is really interesting. Geneva 2 conference and Syria, waste of time. And this gentleman is one of the members of the opposition.
Yeah, it's really the different view about the
yes.
Geneva 2.
So Syrian National Coalition. So it means that even within the establishment,
inside
the coalition, there is
different view and
yes.
different approach.
Yes,
to the
exactly.
Geneva,
yeah. Okay, let's go to our next web page. So this is from RT, and this is the lady we're just talking about, Dr. Shaban, who is the advisor to Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah.
So,
as our really guest said, it's very
yes.
optimistic view and look about the Syrian
yes.
Crisis, because there are several dimensions of, and it's very complicated.
Yes.
To
be honest with you, when I first saw that heading, I was
yeah.
really surprised. With political with Syrian crisis over in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, that's what she believes. Let's go to our other page. This is really sad. You know, 10 cases of polio has been found in Syria. So it shows that there are lots of other sides, sad sides to the Syrian crisis. And I
yeah.
think this child is being
situation.
Vaccinated. So this is from ZDF website, heute.de website. So it shows that there are also some other aspects.
Yeah, dark side of the
yes,
story.
Yes, dark sides to the story in Syria. So let's
yeah.
hope that an end will be put to this very soon.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Thank you very much indeed for having a look at today's website. Now, Dr. Al-Hashimi,
yeah.
we're talking about actually Dr. Shaban, the political and media advisor to the Syrian president. She also said that the Syrian government was ready to take part in Geneva 2 peace talks without any preconditions. But I think it's interesting to know that she also said that we are ready to sit down for peace talks with people who represent the political opposition of the Syrian population, but not the armed rebel groups. So this in itself is a very important condition, isn't it?
For sure it is. The same equation which controls the political move of the coalition will be driving Bashar al-Assad to the negotiation table. Mm-hmm. We should not forget that this deal is being stricken between Moscow and Washington. Mm-hmm. So we have exceeded the internal as well as the regional, and now we are playing at the international plane. Mm-hmm. So when at the end of the day, the coalition send their representative, and of course Al-Assad expressed his willingness to go. As you know, these negotiations are pretty lengthy and multifaceted.
Dr. Al-Hashimi, we have one minute left for this question. Okay.
Yes, so the end of the tunnel, we won't see a light in 2 weeks' time. We may need lots of other meetings. However, the coalition has put some limit on the timeline when these negotiations should be resumed and concluded.
Okay, I have one key question that I'd like to put to both our guests. First, of course, to you, Dr. Al-Hashimi. You know, the Syria crisis began in March 2011, so over 2 years and 7 months of devastation and destruction. Do you think there is any end to this?
I think finding any end, especially political settlement for this crisis is the only viable, I think, a way to end this standoff in Syria. And Syrian crisis showed that it cannot be resolved by forces or by violent means. And I think that any kind of solution should be really limited to political one, because in this way we can find a political base for the future of Syria, especially including all parts of this. I think crisis is very important for the future of the Syria.
Dr. Hajimine, they haven't even been able to set a time for Geneva II talks.
Yeah. Up to now, there is no time, because, as I mentioned, about different obstacles on the way to Geneva II. But I think in the future, there is no other alternative. Mm-hmm. But if there is any alternative, it is very severe for the future of Syria. So I wish they came to an agreement to find a political solution, because it is the only viable way for finding a good, I think, future for the Syria.
Thank you very much. I hope so too. Thanks. Now, Dr. Al-Hashimi, we have just about 1 minute. So what's your prognosis of the future of Syria?
I see that country will see a peaceful settlement eventually, especially if there is a weak central government in Damascus, because the interest of the Zionist entity is to only have some weak entities bordering it. The situation in Syria is not worse than what happened in Japan after being hit by two missiles, nuclear bombs. But as we saw, that country recovered its peace and could live and survive. Hopefully, the American missiles were not shot toward Damascus in this time, as we were anticipating a few weeks ago. That by itself is a great glimpse of hope.
Great. Thank you very much indeed for that. So on that optimistic note, we have to end today's show. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had Dr. Ahmad Al-Hashimi, the founding director of Ihsan Muslim Heritage Society in Toronto, and Dr. Rahmat Hajimina, professor of international relations and politics in Tehran. As always, your insights are much appreciated. Thanks for coming on, for talking to us, and of course, for those insights. Now, until next week, and another program here in Tehran, from me, our guest today, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much. It's great to have you with us. Thank you.